Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to Beyond the Matrix, here on Israel News Talk Radio. Unplug, strap yourself in, because you are about to move beyond the matrix.
And certainly this is a good day to move beyond the matrix. If you are tuned in to Israel News Talk Radio, you are actually tuned in and turned on to the very best place to get all of your news, views, and source of information on the great state of Israel. As a matter of fact, it's nice to say the great state of Israel, isn't it, Jerry?
It sure is. And I want to give a special shout out to Bob Goldberg in Florida.
Bob Goldberg is like an amazing guy. Think about this. This guy listens to us each week.
Correct.
That's what makes him amazing.
Well, that's part of it, but he also loves the dialogue, and we also loves the stuff that we put up on Facebook and Twitter.
Excellent. And we want to let you know, the listener, make sure that you let us know that you're listening. We like to hear feedback, because sometimes I feel like that Jerry and I are in an echo chamber, and we get good comments sometimes, but it's usually our own voices in our heads that we're hearing. So we want to let you know that we'd love to hear from you. So send us an email, rod@israelnewstalkradio.com, rod@israelnewstalkradio.com. We'd love to hear from you. I apologize. I was on a flight from the East Coast back to Houston, Texas, and somewhere in the process, my voice disappeared. And I'm going to be struggling through it. Hope it's not annoying. But at the same time, we have a great show for you today. As a matter of fact, Jerry, why don't you real quick introduce the name of the person that we're going to have on. And we're going to be talking about the latest events in Israel and the Northern Golan Heights area.
Well, he's a real live maniac, meaning he's originally from the state of Maine. And that's Seth J. Fransman, who is currently the opinion editor for the Jerusalem Post. But he's a guy who got educated here in the United States and decided to make Aliyah to Israel. And we're the better for it.
And look, I'm telling you, what's nice is you have somebody with what we call boots on the ground who knows what's going on. And to be able to provide you, the listener, with the latest information about what's going on with no hype, just giving you the sources and the information so that you can stay informed of what's going on in Israel. You don't want to go away. We're going to be right back right after these commercial messages. You're listening to Beyond the Matrix here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Shalom from the heartland of Israel. This is David Ha'ivri. Join me every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 o'clock Eastern, for A Hebrew in the Heartland on Israel News Talk Radio. Hear the news and views from the heartland of Israel every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time. Be there.
Welcome back to Beyond the Matrix, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
I'm going to ask you not to forget our official sponsor for Beyond the Matrix here on Israel News Talk Radio is TorahLearningChannel.com. TorahLearningChannel.com, one long word, but it is the single source, one place that you can go and listen or watch some of the world's greatest rabbis in English 24/6. That is 24 hours a day, 6 days a week, off on Shabbos, of course. But we want to encourage you to go and watch it and make that a part of sort of your daily routine of hearing Torah taught. And it stays up to date. You can get it on Roku. You can get it on Fire, Amazon Fire. Also, you can watch it on YouTube as well. And Jerry, we have our guest that we wanted to come on live on the show, but we were having some audio difficulties. He was talking to us on a cell phone. It sounded like in a busy street in Israel. You could hear kids laughing, buses honking, etc. But we snatched some really good jewels out of this in the conversation. So why don't you start off with, say, the first question that you had asked him, and we'll just go from there.
Well, I think we directly talked about the rescue of the so-called Syrian white helmets, who had been taken out last Saturday mm-hmm. night in buses from the Golan in transit over to Jordan. And you will find in his responses that basically it's all because Israel has some friends in the West who paid for the white helmet support to try and save innocent Syrian right. civilians.
Right, and so it wasn't just, I mean, surely it was humanitarian effort, but it was something that Israel, I think that we're going to find out from this comment, was would have preferred not to get involved, but at the same time will step up when asked. So why don't we play this clip so that the audience can hear what he said?
Well, last week,
sure.
the White Helmets, which are a group of medical volunteers called Syrian Civil Defense, they were in, they're throughout rebel-held areas of Syria, but these rebel-held areas have basically been little by little defeated. So there were about 120 of them or so in southern Syria, in the areas of Dara and Qunetra. And in the last few weeks, you know, the Syrian regime was pushing the rebels right up against the Jordanian and Israeli borders. And these white helmets knew that they were going to be persecuted by the regime. And they also were told there was no way for them to go north to rebel-held areas in the north. So they reached out to friends in Washington and Canada and other areas because the White Helmets have been funded by Western governments, many of those governments which, you know, opposed the Assad regime but didn't want to give weapons but thought that they could give medical aid. So these White Helmets reached out. And these Western governments, including the U.S. and Canada, encouraged Israel, basically, to allow them to transit into Israel in the Golan Heights and then go to Jordan in the same night. And in Jordan, they were going to be housed in a kind of closed area, and then the UNHCR would help process them to go on to Canada and Germany. So this was a very complicated operation with many different players. A kind of unprecedented of its sort, because I think nothing like this has ever been done before in terms of these players and in terms of Syria and Israel. So, you know, Israel was able to help get 422 of these people out. It's these white helmets and their families. And Israel got them onto buses on Saturday night. It was a secret operation which no one knew about up until when it was happening. And the 422 people are now in Jordan.
Which is an amazing tale, and later on I'm sure that we'll probably be able to get more detail of what took place, but this is an amazing rescue. And if you're not familiar with the White Helmets, when you hear that term, you can actually go, if you have Netflix or YouTube, you can probably watch the documentary that's on Netflix and YouTube about the White Helmets. These individuals have risked life and limb and family to become, pararescues, to help rescue people that have been caught in the middle. And these are not fighters. These people consider themselves humanitarian, rescue people. And it's amazing. Jerry, did you have something you wanted to add to that?
Well, I think the interest in the world has been twofold in that regard. Why Israel was chosen to do this in the first instance,
right.
and why did both Washington and Ottawa call upon Bibi to do this and get the cooperation of Zahal, who is close thereby, in order to facilitate it? But the other problem is that half again as many White Helmets and their families did not make it out currently in this batch on Saturday. And there's a question about what's going to happen
right.
to them.
Well, normally these white helmets would go to Turkey for training. I don't know if you knew that. And that's where they did much of their training and rehab. But I think the situation may have shifted drastically, which caused them to realize we've got to get out and we've got to get out heading south. Very important. Now, what was the next question that you had asked?
Well, Seth, I think we segued to ask a question about, in fact, where they were going after this entire episode. And then very quickly thereafter, we talked about a very interesting phenomenon, and that's who is caring for the nearly 6,000 civilian Syrians hard by the Israeli border.
Right.
And that story in its own right, I think, needs to be explored and expanded.
Absolutely. Look, when you realize there are people out there that are putting millions of dollars, they're actually putting their money where their mouth is. They're working hard to make sure that they save lives. It's really important that we do give them a shout out. So here is Seth on that part of the story.
Right. So basically the deal is Jordan would never have agreed to this if these Western countries such as Canada and Germany and the UK had not agreed to take some of them. We don't know all the details, but we do know that Canada and Germany seem to have agreed to take about 50 of the men each plus their families. So that's kind of the breakdown. The United States doesn't want any of them, but the United States has been paying many millions of dollars to support this group. So the U.S. was deeply involved in helping to rescue them. And Jordan is just a transition point, basically, as was Israel.
So basically what he's saying is these people are not going to actually end up just staying in Jordan, correct?
That's correct, because basically the problem in Jordan is that the kingdom has accepted well over 1,300,000 right. Syrian refugees.
They didn't need any more to
change the demographic composition of the kingdom.
Right, and many of these people are still living in tents in the northern part of Jordan.
That's correct.
You know, it's a shocking humanitarian nightmare, really, that's going on. Now, the next part, we have a couple of minutes. We can actually go ahead and play this. You want to lead up to it?
Yeah, I think this deals with the question of who else is up on the Golan frontier on the Syrian side taking care of those huddled Syrian civilians.
You know, this is another example where you can see that even Western governments that are sometimes critical of Israel, like Canada, for instance, in the recent administration, knows that Israel is a reliable partner. It's a reliable Western NATO-style army. And when Israel needs to get a job done, Israel get it done. So, you know, it shows that whatever the rhetoric is, Israel's security services and its relationship with Western countries is basically ironclad, even if those countries sometimes have other issues with Israel about other things.
Now, when I hear that, I'm also reminded of the many levels of articles that we have out that shows Israel's humanitarian efforts to bring water to African countries. The mention that Bibi Netanyahu made about bringing and helping the Iranians with water at one point. This goes beyond just humanitarian. I think that this, at some level, is like could potentially be world changing. Don't you agree?
Well, I do. And in fact, there's been a recent estimate that the Israeli version of the White Helmets, which is the IDF search and rescue folks, have served nearly 2.5 million people globally.
Right. Now, think about this.
And, you know, you got to
think about this. Yeah, when we had hurricanes here in the States, there were those individuals that came out to help. Most people don't even know it. They go to Haiti. They go to all countries all over the world to provide aid and assistance.
Well, they even more recently apparently provided some technology that was used to rescue those 12 kids plus their coach in that cave network in Thailand.
Yeah, it was a radio technology. And if some people may not be familiar, but radios have to have either super high power to reach out a long distance, but generally they have to have what they call repeater systems that have to have a tower, and you talk on the radio and it goes to the repeater and then repeats out. Well, these very special proprietary radios, each radio becomes a repeater. So almost, you know, indefinitely, as long as one radio can reach another, everybody can talk in the network. It's an amazing technology. We're getting ready to go to a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to pick this up, and we're going to just continue the conversation that we have with Seth from the Jerusalem Post, correct? And so,
that's correct.
Yes, and he is at this point, one of our expert testimonies of what's going on around the world. Don't forget, our sponsor is TorahLearningChannel.com. TorahLearningChannel.com, 24 hours a day, Torah teaching. It is the best. You must tune it in today on your YouTube channel, on TorahLearningChannel.com, or on your Roku device. If you're in America, there are several different platforms that you can listen to it. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country. From Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Beyond the Matrix, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Almost too much information going on in the news to us to mention everything, but I did make a quick phone call to Rabbi Chaim Klorfein in Tzfat, Israel, and I think I told you in the sort of warm-up to the show that I'd spoken to him, and one of those Patriot batteries is about 2 miles away from his home. So when they fired at that Russian aircraft, he said it was shocking. He actually thought that it was two low-flying aircraft that had flown over because it's so loud. And what had happened, and we all know now in hindsight, that when the missiles went off, they shoot two missiles at a time at the one aircraft to make sure that they hit it. They hit it after it had come into their territory and was heading back out, and it ended up crashing into Syria. So just wanted to keep you informed. And when you hear something, you're not sure, you want some explanation, give Jerry and I a call or send us a Facebook message so that we can clarify some of these things. Jerry, I'm losing my voice, so why don't you go ahead and take off with this next question?
Well, the next question again deals with a evangelical Christian group that is providing humanitarian care and assistance to a group of roughly 6,000 hard by the on the Golan on the Syrian side. The question is, what's going to happen to them? There's also a question about the problems of an ISIS unit that is still there in a pocket in the southwest Syria battle zone. And Seth goes into a description about that. When we talk about such things as whether or not Israel, according to Ambassador David Friedman, that Sahal needs a medal for this event that occurred on Saturday night, Seth raises an interesting observation about what Israel really deserves a medal for, and that was providing emergency medical care inside Israel for more than 5,000 patients from Syria.
Absolutely. So let's listen to this.
Yep. I think the Israeli public, like many of these things, doesn't care that much. I mean, the Israeli public was more interested in a large protest Saturday night, Sunday, about the gay rights and surrogacy law. So it wasn't even on the cover of What Yidiot, which is Israel's one of Israel's largest circulated papers. And our understanding also is that Netanyahu, you know, was basically asked to do this as a favor. It wasn't something that Israel necessarily wanted to do. So I think the idea that Israel should get a medal for something that Israel actually didn't necessarily really care about or want to do is kind of strange. I do think that Israel might deserve a medal for the other 5,000 Syrians who were treated in Israeli hospitals over the last 5 years. I think that that's something Israel did on its own for Israel's own reasons. So that's a slightly different case.
Yeah, and you know, when we talk about this, we use a common word in Judaism. We say that someone's a real mensch. You know, it takes some very special people to make the decision to provide that kind of aid, hospitalization, and literally spending millions of dollars helping people that otherwise probably would have cut the throat of an Israeli if they could have met them, and now have literally changed the hearts and minds of 5,000 to 6,000 people. And when you add it up, Jerry, it's more than 5,000 or 6,000 people. It's also their family members and their children and their children's children who'll be telling stories about how they were rescued, correct?
Yeah, it's a good example of Israel's good neighbor policy, which has been going on for years during the Syrian civil war. And it is something that should be recognized internationally. But it also is an expression of another Hebrew word called rachmanis.
Rachmanis,
compassion,
yeah.
Essentially, for the plight of these individuals.
You know, there's an old story that goes back.
That's.
No, go ahead. You going to say something?
Yep.
What were you going to say?
No, I mean, basically, that is why Israel does need to be recognized for something that is extraordinary.
Right.
In an environment where hundreds of thousands have died through callous exercise of combat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just think of the barrel bombs dropped by the Syrians,
right,
and the Russians, as well as the gassing of untold number of civilians,
yeah,
that have occurred in Syria.
And then when the video
comes out.
That's
not compassion.
Yeah, no, when the video came out, it was horrifying to see children gasping for their last breath.
Right.
You know, I'm reminded of a story that is about Joshua, who I think is about the 9th chapter, that is approached by what he thinks are sort of wayfarers, people kind of coming through the land, and they sit down and they offer them meal and they offer them food and they offer animals something to drink, and pretty soon they say, look, we'd like to stay in the area. Would you mind, you know, maybe having some type of covenant where we have agreement that we can stay in the area? And lo and behold, these were actually Canaanite people that had been there forever, but they stuck to it. You know, they stuck to the agreement, and that is it. That has been sort of the nature of Israel's place in the world, I guess, wouldn't you say?
Yes, absolutely.
So let's go to the next question that you asked Seth and his response.
Right. And so therefore, let's deal with another group of people who have been acting compassionate to Syrian refugees, or what's the term, internally displaced persons,
mm-hmm,
who are anxious to get out of the war zone. But he also talks about a nasty pocket of ISIS fighters that have created problems, and it may have prevented other white helmets from getting out. Let's see what he says.
So FAI International is, as they say themselves, the only organization of its type now working in southern Syria. It was founded by a guy named Dalton Thomas, who I've spoken to many times. And they're basically a Christian organization that is, they say, nonpartisan. So they're not pro-Israel or anti-Israel or pro-Syrian government or anti-Syrian government or what have you. They are there basically to help the individual people, and they've had a medical mission. And it's unusual because their mission has been going into Syria to help deliver babies and things like that and run medical clinics. So it's unusual in the sense that they're going inside, because other aid organizations basically were giving some stuff, then was showing up at the border, and the Israelis were basically dumping it on the other side. So I think what makes FAI unique is that, you know, they have been doing work inside Syria. A lot of that work is, I think, quiet or clandestine, so we don't hear the full details. I hope one day that, of course, they'll make some sort of a movie or tell us the full details of all the stuff that they saw, but most of that has been done very quietly and very courageously, it seems.
Yeah, without a whole lot of fanfare, you have some people that are really putting their neck on the line to bring that kind of aid. Jerry, what's the next question that you had for him?
I think we're now going to deal with this question about the troublesome ISIS pocket that Seth has identified in his writings and knows about.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, so basically in southern part of the Golan Heights, there's a group of people that used to be kind of Syrian rebels, and they decided to join ISIS and create their own affiliate. which is called the Jaish Khalid bin Walid, or whatever, the army of Khalid, the son of Walid. So it's its own ISIS cell, kind of, and it kind of took over this small area. And throughout the whole war, it was able to survive because the rebels were kind of around it like a buffer. So it could kind of do whatever it wanted. But now, as the Syrian regime has showed up, the ISIS guys there have to be fighting the regime. And I was up on the Golan this weekend, on Saturday, and we just watched the regime just eviscerate and pound the ISIS areas. I mean, the ISIS guys have not retreated, but, you know, the regime is serious about knocking them off. And I think that's why you've also had several instances in the last week of ordnance and planes and drones that have come too close to comfort for Israel.
Which, in and of itself, is why we've had so much activity over the past, 4 or 5 days.
Oh, yeah. It's you've had basically ground-to-ground missiles,
right,
that triggered the David Sling interceptors.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You've also had another IAF attack on a northern Syrian target that is presumed to be another Iranian precision factory,
right,
missile factory, rocket factory. And then you had, of course, the intrusion of an Su-22 that was taken down by someone you just talked about, your rabbi friend in Safad,
right,
who was close to a Persian battery.
Right. So the missiles that were used, and just kind of give some background information, is the Patriot missile system, which I'm very familiar with. I was in an air defense task force during the first Gulf War, and that task force used Patriot missiles to down many of those Scuds. If you remember that, it was during that period of time that Patriot batteries left Germany and went to the went to Israel to help protect it. And you know, thank God, no one was killed except for one individual who had a heart attack during one of the attacks. And so these Patriot missiles have an amazing range. And now, since 1990s, when they first came up, and was being used in the Gulf War, the software packages are so amazing that they can target multiple targets. They can target not only multiple targets, but different types of targets. They could attack and shoot down aircraft and missiles that fly through the air. You just name it. It's amazing. So Israel has the best technology out there. But one thing for sure, Jerry, you and I both know the best technology that Israel has is what we call spiritual technology. And that is, there is a God who says that this land belongs to the people of Israel. And this and Jerusalem is the eternal capital. And because of that, Israel is going to be there, whether the nations around it like it or not. We're going to go to a break. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
I'm John O'Vandor.
And I'm Ross Nichols.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories.
We're going to be talking about...
What are we going to talk about?
A person who takes out a terrorist with a pizza tray.
And there's Donald Trump talking to a turkey. What's that about?
A 71-year-old rock star is a staunch supporter of Israel.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind,
every Thursday.
Welcome back to Beyond the Matrix, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
The final segment of Beyond the Matrix here on Israel News Talk Radio. You are listening to me, Rod Bryant, and Jerry Gordon on our weekly show. Each week, we thank you so much for participating and making Beyond the Matrix the great show that it is. Jerry, my voice is going out, so you're going to kind of have to handle this last segment. Before we went into the break, I mentioned the fact that we had a technology, and it's spiritual technology that is far better than any of the physical technology. and it's and this state belongs to Israel. And of course, there's a bunch of hubbub going on around because Israel passed a very important bill. Why don't you sort of lead up to it and let's
I'll set the stage for a very unique discussion that Seth and I had. It was about the Turkish origins of the nation state concept that arose because who but Ben-Gurion and his pals, who were labor socialists from Russia, when they were part of the Ottoman Empire, chose to go get themselves law degrees in Istanbul together with those infamous Young Turks. And he said, Seth made that abundantly clear in his response. In turn, I said, if it wasn't for their enemies, who were Zionists and also spies for the British, then we would not have had essentially the conquest of the Holy Land by the British and the establishment of the mandate for, quote, the Jewish home.
Right.
It's a complete contradiction. These people were more like Dabos than they were the Ben-Gurion crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an interesting dialogue that we had towards the end.
Okay, so you want me to play this segment now?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. I assume that actually there's a reason that the Turkish regime would want to protect the Jews as much as possible because they need to show that Turkey's different than Israel. It's at the viewpoint of the nationalists there. Israel is somehow the bad boogeyman, whereas Turkey is a wonderful liberal model. So therefore, they want to have the Jews protected because it would show that the Ottoman legacy of pluralism, whatever, marches on. So, you know, I do think that the rising Turkish nationalism and the kind of things you see in the press lead to a certain type of populism and certain types of whispering campaigns of anti-Semitism that are very, very dangerous. But I do think that from the state's point of view, any attack on Jews would be highly detrimental.
That's interesting because I've that's the first time I've really kind of heard that explanation. Have you?
Yes, it's the first time I did.
Yeah.
But then he follows that up essentially with this interesting origins of the nation state bill.
Right.
And Ben-Gurion and his crowd educated in Istanbul.
Right. So here we go.
Well, I think the nation state bill basically enshrines the law, what Israel always was, and I think it's a mistake to view Israel as becoming more nationalistic today. I mean, the reality is, I think that Israel in the 1950s was a country with extreme discrimination against the Arabic minority, and you know, it wasn't a country most people would probably want to live in terms of its being a country of a sort of certain types of socialist collectivism, and I think a very difficult country in some ways. So, I don't think, you know, Israel in some ways is a more robust democracy today. Now, they've enshrined this law. The law basically tells you what you already knew, which is that Israel's a homeland of the Jewish people. Well, okay, we already knew that. The flag is the Star of David, the symbols of menorah, the song for this, the national song is a hatikvah. I mean, so I don't, you know, there are one or two causes that they say are more controversial, like the issue of supporting settlements or something. It's unclear whether that means settlements in the West Bank or settlements inside the Green Line. So that's up to interpretation. Maybe the Supreme Court will knock the law down. But I think it's a mistake to pretend that anything changed in Israel in the last week. If anything, you know, Israel is just exactly what it's always been.
Yeah, that is absolutely the most profound comment of the whole thing. And that is, Israel is not trying to declare something new about itself. It's just declaring what they have already been. That's a very good comment. Jerry?
Israel was simply confirming the obvious. And the obvious is that this heritage for the Jewish nation has existed for nearly 4,000 years. Mm-hmm. And that is something that other nations should recognize and find comfort in for the most non-problematic democracy in the entire Middle East.
Right.
It is, after all, the eighth power in the world, according to some national organizations recently. But it's a power with Hashem behind it.
Right. And look, we are looking and seeing as amongst all of the really terrible news that we have in the Mideast, there is a lot more very positive vibes coming out of the state of Israel and what it's been able to accomplish in medicine, in technology, the aid that they provide to even the sick Palestinian children with heart conditions that they allow to come in and they do surgeries on them, and it's not charged to them at all. I mean, it's the things that we see are going on are absolutely beautiful. And that is why it's important for you and I on this show to bring that to the highest level so that people all over the world can hear that this is not an imperialist capitalist democracy out to invade all of the lands around it and absorb it. No, the Jewish people want to just have their land and be left alone. And at the same time, they would love to be friends with all the people that hate them. Correct?
That's correct. And Israel will be a bastion for humanity in a sea of darkness.
It has been. I mean, it has been. And that's what is so beautiful about especially when we saw the rescue of the white hat individuals. I know that is something Israel really didn't want to get involved in, but that is the quality of the people of Israel, of strong compassion, the sort of the attributes of loyalty. When nations come and say, look, can you help us out and will you be a real mensch and do this, they do it. And I just think it's incredible. I'm hoping to see in my day before I go and, before I die, God willing, 120 years, right, Jerry? But before I die, that we will actually see the hearts and minds of the nations turn. I mean, when we heard, like I read an article just earlier this morning that many of the Arabs that live in where the industrial area is. Hold on. Samaria, Judea, Samaria, right?
You're talking about the Arabs living in Area C.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
So these people are very satisfied and they are very pleased and they are less interested in bashing Israel. They're less interested in a quote-unquote jihad against Israel because their life is so much better. And I think it's just going to be a matter of time where we're going to see things turn around drastically.
That's true, and we would hope it would be hurried along by the nature of Israel's care and love for humanity.
Right. Look, it won't be long. I really do believe that we're going to see some things turn around. I like the idea. I think that you and I just, 2 weeks ago, we talked to, was it Dan?
It was Dan Diker.
Dan Diker, about this idea of bringing normality into the situation and in which people prosper and that becomes the motivation for peace. And to that really sounds almost too good to be true. But in reality, Jerry, the average person, if you're an Arab, just wants to have a safe home for their family and they want to eat and they want to be able to have a roof over their children's head. It's the same need that every citizen of the world wants. But somehow we've got to break through those who are in power for pleasing themselves only.
Well, I think it's reflected in a poll that was taken among the Palestinians who say they reject violence these
right.
days because it hasn't profited them,
right.
period. And it's all been at the direction of very corrupt leadership in the PA.
Right. And so maybe the tide's turning. I mean, that's what I'm hoping. And when you see a poll like that come out, they realize that violence against Israelis has not paid off. It's not working for them. And in reality, those Arabs that live in those areas are working side by side with Israelis and that are working side by side with also Jews, religious Jews. That says something very powerful as to the ability of people to get along. When you look at the major hospitals in Israel, there are Arab doctors and Israeli doctors working together to save lives. Something very positive is there, and I don't want us, especially you and I, it's very easy for us to sort of focus on all the negative things and forget that Israel's a very prosperous country and has plenty of prosperity and compassion to show to the nations around them. Is there anything else you have? We only have about 30 seconds.
Yeah. Well, basically, this program has been illustrative of the things that Israel does for its friends.
Right.
And what Israel does to defend itself, and what Israel should be doing as a light unto the nations.
Correct, correct. And God willing, the light will grow brighter. People in the nations will be able to see that there is truth, that there is goodness, there is purity in the world. And a quote from one of my favorite speakers that I hear is Dr. Jordan Peterson says, the whole world could be at peace if we'd all want and love truth more than anything. You've been listening to Beyond the Matrix. We wish you a very wonderful and blessed rest of the week, and we'll talk to you at this same time next week. Shalom.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar. I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom!
Okay, wait a minute.
Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling from the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.